Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 35 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings over at attractionsmagazine.com in the past week and in our lives in general. So, Brittany, how's that quarantine life going over there in Austin?
It's all right. Like I said before, we officially started recording. We took a little drive, little sightseeing around Austin today. I was dying to get out of the house. So we got dressed, went out, drove around for a couple of hours. It was really nice. We're just kind of hanging out other than that, just working, doing things, that quarantine life, you know?
Yeah. It's really all you can do is just kind of stick around at home. Although more and more often nowadays, we're going to be going out and doing things. I mean, I usually make a Target run every other day. It's just right around the corner from our house. I have a mask. I wear for that. It's never busy. So we never have any issues over there.
I miss Target.
I love it. I love it so much. So let's see what this week. I'm playing lots of video games, especially Animal Crossing. We'll talk about that later in our Animal Crossing corner. Finished my first run through of Resident Evil 4 again. I freaking love that game so much.
I saw you playing it earlier.
Yeah, I'm doing my second run through now with the Infinite Rocket Launcher. So I'm just like, bam, 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 just get through and speed run.
I saw a game. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a PlayStation 4 exclusive. It comes out in July. It's called Ghost of Tsushima. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen about this.
It's literally like a Kurosawa movie that you play. It looks awesome. It's like a samurai who went to war in Japan, and like stuff happens, and he becomes the Ghost of Tsushima, and he's like a bad anti-samurai who like doesn't fight with honor and stuff, and it's like Assassin's Creed but better. And it looks so cool, and they have a black and white cinematic filter like the Kurosawa movies, so you can put that on and play in that black and white mode. And they also have a Japanese voice track with subtitles, so you can play it with the character speaking in Japanese if you want, and make it like a subtitled movie thing. Look up the trailer if you get a chance. Any of you out there listening, check that game out. It looks killer. I saw it and I was like, I have to play it. It looks so cool. Because games can also be movies sometimes. And this one is very much like a super cinematic looking game.
Yeah, very for sure. Speaking of, I'm going to get a little something off my chest before I talk a little bit more about my week. Speaking of video games, so they announced and released a trailer for a remastered version of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Yeah.
These two games were my childhood. I played these two games so much, finding the secret room, getting all the skate letters, unlocking all the characters, listening to all that music, and I am pumped that they've remastered the game because I'm not going to be able to because I do not own an Xbox or PS4 because for some reason they have refused to release this on the Switch, so no remastered Tony Hawk for me.
I'm really surprised. Because I saw this happen, and I started playing Tony Hawk in the Pro Skater 4 timeline, but I had it for Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
So it was totally different developer, totally different game, basically. But I was so shocked that they didn't port it to the Switch. It seems like such a perfect portable game. I was really surprised.
Maybe in the future they will. I know, like, Brittany, you were telling me about this whole war between consoles and handheld. And
yeah.
I'm not getting into all that, but I would hope that one day maybe they will. Because, you think it this way. I've seen a lot of games released first on PlayStation and Xbox and then come to Nintendo later. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking Resident Evil 5 and 6, which are the next games I want to buy for the Switch. When those first came out, those were only Xbox, PlayStation. They weren't even on Nintendo, so it took a few years to make its way over there. So maybe Tony Hawk in a little bit will make its way to the Switch.
And there are some studios that have made a point to port games later in the life cycle, like Witcher 3 came out for the Switch, I think 2018 or 2019. I'm playing through it now. And The Outer Worlds already out for Xbox and PlayStation, but it's supposed to come out in June or July for the Switch. BioShock the Collection comes out at the end of the month for the Switch. So it's just a matter of time, probably.
Yeah. So other than that, I took the family over to Wild Florida's drive-thru safari this week. We love that place. Sydney had never been. Spencer's been wanting to go back since we first went in December. We got to go through twice. The cool thing is you pay one price and you can take as many round trips through as you like in the same day. Then $5 extra get you the draft feeding, which is really cool. And it's the perfect place for this kind of social distancing thing because you practically stay in your car. We only got out to do the draft feeding and to go use the bathroom, and it wasn't that crowded. They had, you know, spacing in the queue for the draft feeding, didn't have to go anywhere near anyone. So it worked out very, very well, and we got to see the craziest thing. So the drive-thru safari, it's got all these, you know, exotic animals, giraffes, there's some zebras, buffalo, camels, things like that. No, you don't normally see in Florida. They also have a lake with crocodiles. And every time that I've gone through, I've not seen the crocodiles until our second time going through the other day. Some of the handlers were in there feeding the crocodiles. And I've been to Gatorland several times, and I've seen the gator feeding shows. That seemed like child's play compared to watching them feed crocodiles. Crocodiles are vicious. I was scared for these guys' lives, even though I knew they were professional. They knew what they were doing. Like, some of the crocodiles would start sneaking up behind them and start charging them from behind. Like, it was
nuts.
And then they would, like, pet them on the nose and underneath the jaw. And I'm just like, I'm about to see a dude's arm get ripped off.
That makes me think of Tiger King. I'm never going to financially recover from this.
So that's great. If you ever get a chance, it's a little bit of a drive. It's about an hour south of Orlando, but it's worth it. The drive-through safari is wonderful. You can enjoy it, sit in your car, roll the windows down if you like. It's just a wonderful time if you ever get a chance.
That sounds awesome. Forever in Orlando and have a free day. Might have to check it out.
Definitely. All right. So as usual, we are live streaming the podcast on our YouTube channel. If you want to join us, you can tune in Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine because we're going to have some extra visuals during the news portion of the podcast that you will not see while you're listening because it's just audio. So if you're listening on the audio, join us Sunday nights over on our YouTube channel for the live stream because you get to see our happy unshaven faces. Or my unshaven. I need to trim this down so bad.
I need to shave too. Look at me. My beard.
All right. So with that, let's go ahead and jump right into the news in the queue. Choo-choo-choo.
All right. First things first. Cedar Point and Knott's Berry Farm have postponed their century celebrations. Both parks were supposed to celebrate their 150th for Cedar Point and 100th anniversary for Knott's Berry Farm. Cedar Point's was already supposed to start, I think, by now. Yes, it was supposed to start on May the 9th, and now it's not. Both have been rescheduled to 2021. So,
A lot of things are going to get rescheduled for later, especially in the theme park world. With such abrupt closings, there were several attractions that were ready to open up, and now those are going to be delayed for who knows how long.
Yep.
So I'm not surprised that they're delaying these big anniversary celebrations, which, you know, it makes sense because you want to be able to bring in as many people as you want to celebrate something as big as 100 or 150 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sad to see the delays, but it's inevitable. All the parks are going to see delays.
Well, as a silver lining, Knott's Berry Farm was supposed to open a new ride with their 100th anniversary celebration called Knott's Berry Tales Return to the Fair. That is still going to open when the park reopens to guests. So it's still on time.
There we go. I love Knott's. I haven't been to Cedar Point. It's one of my like bucket list parks to go to. But Knott's Berry Farm is such a classic, such a country down home place. I love it so much.
I want to go so bad. We ordered all that boysenberry stuff, which was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we made the pancakes and had the syrup, and then we made an adult beverage with the boysenberry punch. Seltzer water and vodka. That was delicious.
See, and dangerous. Now that you've had some boysenberry stuff, now you got to get out there and have their fried chicken.
They started selling the fried chicken curbside you can go get it.
Well, if you want to drive across the country, go for it.
I made a joke with Josh. I was like, we have to go. Like, you want to take a road trip? I'm bored. Let's go get some pie and fried chicken.
Real quick before we go on to the next story, Piano Man 20 in our YouTube live chat saying they are watching some old Early Night Live videos. Ah! Reliving some of the glory days with Brittany and Vincent.
Are you watching old ones with me and Vincent in it, or like old ones with Banks and Ava from a few months ago?
I mean,
because like you guys have been doing it for a hot minute now. So
2 years.
Yeah,
it'll be 2 years this summer because our first episode together was Toy Story Land's opening. Wow, God, it's been that long. Jeez. for those who watch Early Night Live, if you missed this past week's Early Night Live, go check it out because we got to have a special guest on the stream. Linda Larkin, the voice of Jasmine in Aladdin, stopped by to chat with us. First time we've ever had a special guest on Early Night Live. And with all this at-home stuff, it's the perfect time to get some guests. We may even have some special guests on this podcast in the very near future.
I'm hoping for it. I'm really excited to see what we can stir up.
Exactly. So go check out the replay of Early Night Live to catch Linda Larkin.
All right, next up is some news that I feel like Banks and I are partially responsible for.
Oh, here we go.
If you go back, there is an old episode, probably like a few months ago, back in October or something, where we said Hamilton should come out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And guess what they said last week? That Hamilton's coming out on Disney Plus.
Here it comes to save the day.
Listen, this production was shot in 2016 with the original cast. So Lin, David, Leslie Odom Jr., all of them are in this production. It is professionally shot. You have literally the best seat in the house to see the show that most people probably will never get to see because tickets sell out in single minutes.
This will be the only way you can see Lin in his performance.
Exactly, because he returned to the role once for a benefit for Puerto Rico, and that was it. But you'll get your chance to be in the room where it happens on July 3rd, 2020, right before Independence Day. So break out the American flags and the barbecue and the beer, because this is an American story. I don't know where I was going.
That was very patriotic, Brittany.
Yeah, that's me, patriotic. I'm so excited. I can't hide my happiness that this is a thing that we manifested into the universe.
We seem to manifest a lot of things, like just talking about it, and then that week it happens.
You know, our power, honestly.
I mean, we should play the lotto.
Hey, listen. I really hope because they're doing this obviously because everyone's stuck at home and quarantined. They were originally going to release this film in theaters on October 3rd.
Yeah, it's like October or November of 2021.
Yeah, I wrote it in here somewhere. I can't find it, but it was supposed to come out October 2021 in theaters. And it was going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
But now that the slate for Disney Plus is kind of lackluster, it's a great move. It's a smart move. And I can't wait to see how many signups they're going to get this.
A ton of those free trial signups.
And they're going to make a ton of money. Not as much as they would have made theatrically, I think, but it's going to be hugely successful and everywhere for like the week that it comes out. I think it's going to be huge, and it shows that Disney is willing to take risks with these big tentpole theatrical releases in times like these, because we don't know what the theater industry is going to be like when all things are said and done and a vaccine comes out and we're safe to go outside again. So this is huge. This is a big step.
Yeah. And at the same time, several things to talk about with this. One, it's amazing. Two, they could still release it theatrically next year and even be like, hey, a special theatrical engagement. I guarantee they'll still make money, even if it's been on Disney Plus for a year. Two, I think that I wouldn't consider this more much of a gamble on releasing something theatrically on streaming for Disney, because Disney didn't really, I know they paid money to get the rights to release
a lot of money,
but they didn't film it and shoot it themselves.
No.
So I don't think it's going to be that as big of a gamble as if they were to do something, if they were to release Black Widow on digital instead of theatrically. Because that costs a lot of money, a lot of talent to put that together. So, you know, it's an interesting thing to see. I would like to see Disney do this more, but I mean, at the same time, it is a Broadway show. It's not a huge movie that has a lot of cast and crew and things like that. But saying all that, they need to do more Broadway stuff.
Yes.
Big time, because, you know, they've got Newsies on there. They're going to have Hamilton now. They need to release now that they, we'll talk about that in a second. But you know, maybe release some shot performances of the old shows, B&B, Tarzan, Little Mermaid, things like that. It's not Disney, but I want to see Beetlejuice get released because that got canceled unjustly. So it's just, you know, I think I'm not sure if they filmed the entire shows. I know they did with Hamilton, but of course, like a lot of theatrical shows do film some of the show for promotional trailers and commercials and things like that. I'm never sure if they ever filmed the entire show or if they just filmed certain scenes for the advertisements. So we know footage exists of a lot of shows. We just don't know if it's a full show that might be available.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to bring that up too, because then you have like the Little Mermaid, Mary Poppins, Lion King, Tarzan, mm-hmm. Frozen, all of these Disney shows that, they could be released professionally. At least Lion King is still on, and Aladdin too. You could easily do a pro shot of that show.
Yeah.
And then put it out. Yeah, I think that would be great. This is going to be huge, I think, not only for Disney itself, but I think for the theater community in general, because theater is really difficult to see unless you have the means to go see theater shows often, like exactly. Hamilton tickets. I'm not going to lie. When we were in Chicago for Star Wars Celebration last year, I entered the lottery to get Hamilton tickets every night that we were in town and didn't get them once.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much tickets cost to go see Hamilton day of or a couple days in advance? Like $300+. Theater needs to be more accessible. And I really don't think having professionally filmed versions of the shows would ever deter anyone from going to see it in person.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. As someone, like, I got my start doing theater back in high school and community theater. I adore theater. I adore the theater community. And there's nothing like seeing a show in person. You can never replicate that experience. However, yes, not everyone's going to be able to get up to Broadway to see a big performance. So why not, like, the last week a show is scheduled to be performing, film the whole performance, professionally film it, so that when it closes and no one can even get up to see it anymore, then you can release it to the wide audience who weren't able to make it up there. Don't release it while it's still on Broadway. Give people a reason to want to go see it. But once it's gone, then give it to the world.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't even mention Hercules at the Public Theater in New York.
Yeah, that's going on. That's workshopping.
Yeah. I mean, that they're trying to make a movie out of it now, but the stage production ran last summer in New York and people loved it, literally to the point where I think tickets were available for like the first couple days of shows and then they were gone. Mm-hmm. Absolutely just
listen,
gone.
Roger Bart as Hades.
Brilliant.
Perfection.
It was so good. And I wish that they would release full videos of the guy that played Hercules. I don't know his name, but I know he was Kristoff in the original cast of Frozen on Broadway. I would love to hear him sing Go the Distance, like the full song and not just the minute snippet that they put on the YouTube channel.
Yes.
Man, I just want it so bad. Disney, film your stuff.
Yeah. You know, I know we're kind of jumping our order here, but we're talking Broadway. We might as well talk about Frozen.
I wanted to do that anyway. You read my mind.
All right.
Speaking of Broadway, another show has fallen victim to the virus closures of Broadway, Disney's Frozen performed its final show on March 11th, 2020. It will not be reopening when Broadway reopens. Who knows when?
Yeah.
Let's see. The Broadway... The Broadway League confirmed this past week on Tuesday that the shutdown due to the virus will be extended through September 6th. And there's no guarantee that it'll open September 6th. But now we've lost Beetlejuice the Musical and Frozen. Two beloved but not smash successful shows, I would say. Disney has had three shows on Broadway at the time. Frozen, Aladdin, and Lion King. Lion King's never going to close. That thing is going to be on Broadway until we die. Aladdin is hugely successful, and this was the one that didn't quite hit that same mark, even though Frozen is like a worldwide phenomenon. The musical just didn't hit that mark, and that was the one wheel that they thought that they could ride without. So yeah. It went, which I'm really sad about, because two of the cast members that just joined the cast, I love from their previous work. Sierra Renee, who was in Big Fish. If you have seen the La Jolla performance of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, she was Esmeralda. Amazing, amazing performer. And Ryan McCartan, who you might know as JD from Heathers, the original off-Broadway cast of Heathers. He was also in Liv and Maddie on Disney Channel, which I thought was super weird.
Okay.
But he was just in Wicked as Fiero, and he just took on the role of Hans, and Sierra Renee was Elsa. And I was like, man, they are so good. I would love to see them. And they only performed for like 2 months, and now they're out of jobs.
So sad.
It's
sad because, yeah, Broadway, I mean, everywhere around the world's hurting because of all this. And now Broadway especially, because, you know, that, you know, these performers, this was their full-time job. So it's, yeah. I'm sad.
Yeah, and the girl who played Anna, this was her Broadway debut, so this was her first leading role, and you know, it's really sad to see a show close, and I hope that they filmed it, because the staging is incredible, the puppets are cool. I would have loved to see it, even if it wasn't the original cast or whatever. I was really stoked for this new cast.
Right, no.
But who knows? Maybe this will kind of be Disney's wake-up call, like, hey, we should be archiving and preserving our theatrical shows as well as we archive our films and our park stuff. You know, this should be something that is kept safe, too. And why not give it to the fans once it closes?
Exactly. Yeah. Preserve these performances. Because, yeah, theatrical shows, when they end. So you want to get it out there in the world so that people don't forget how amazing it was. I really wish more theatrical shows started doing this in this day of streaming.
Yeah. My biggest fear is that they will close down all the shows, the newer shows that I want to see before I can get to New York because of Corona. Cause I would give a kidney to see Hadestown.
I've heard lots of good things about that.
Oh God, it is so good. The artist who wrote the book for the show and wrote the music and everything, she put the whole thing out as a concept album when I was in high school.
Oh wow.
And I was a big fan of the album, had no idea it was a thing. And then I watched the Tonys the year that it won everything. And I was like, oh my God, I listened to this in high school. This is Anais Mitchell's Hadestown album. And ever since, it's been like my favorite thing. I've been dying to see it. I know it's going to go on tour this fall, maybe. But man, I hope that doesn't close. I really want to see it.
We'll move on, but it'll be interesting to see in the future how Broadway and how theatrical tours do in a world post-corona. You don't want to gather so many people in a theater sitting next to each other for a 2.5-hour show.
Yep.
How are they going to seat people? Are there going to be not as many tickets sold? Like, it's going to be interesting to see how things work out.
Yep. We will have to keep an eye on it.
Exactly.
Until then, Hamilton!
Yeah, Hamilton, July 3rd. And maybe hopefully Frozen. Who knows? Maybe this will be Disney will hear this as usual, and then this week they'll announce something.
They keep taking our good ideas. So.
Yep,
Anyway, Six Flags is preparing to reopen. Yes. We don't know when, but they have announced a new guest reservation system that you can use to choose your time when you get to visit the park. So this new program, you can check it out. It's not live yet, but you can go to sixflags.com/reserve and check it out. And the what you do is you purchase your ticket for a specific time. So you enter your order number, your ticket number, whatever, your annual pass number on this website. You choose what day you want to visit and the approximate time that you want to enter the park gates, which I thought was interesting. And then you have to watch a video, like a 2 to 3 minute, I would imagine, video about their new social distancing and sanitization procedures. So you are aware of what the park is doing. And then after you watch it, you have to acknowledge that you understand their new policies. And then you're good to go. You can order your prepaid parking and you're all set for your next visit. And I think this is a great new system. I really do.
Yeah. We're going to see this happen a lot over the next few months. I'm pretty certain a lot of theme parks are going to adopt something very, very similar to this. I mean, we've already seen the reservation system over at Shanghai, and by all intents and purposes, it's successful for them. So we'll have to see how it does. This Six Flags, I guess this would be the first U.S. park to acknowledge these kind of restrictions and guidelines for guests visiting the parks.
I found it very interesting that they're actively making you watch a video and acknowledge that you understand what their policies and procedures are instead of just putting out a press release and hoping that you read it.
Right.
They're being like, hey, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to wear a mask or whatever the rules are, and you have to agree to these rules before you can finish your purchase. So I hope that other parks see this and they kind of consider that when planning out their long term, how are we going to get guests in the park safely? How are we going to make sure they know what to do and what not to do?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in our main attraction for the week. So, Brittany, what we got next?
This one, I thought of Sydney when I was writing about this because I knew she would be stoked. A new Chip and Dale themed merchandise location has opened up in Shanghai Disney, and it's very cute.
It is very, very cute.
It's called Chippendale's Trading Post, and it is full of Chippendale merchandise. Literally everything you could possibly want. Clothes, homewares, purses, pass holder bags, keychains. I saw some hair clips in there. There are even little plush keychain things that you can buy clothes for, little clothes, and dress them in it. And it's so cute.
The Asian parks, like Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, their merchandise game is always on point.
It's so good. There's the plushes with the little clothes. It's the merchandise is so cool and so on brand for that audience, and it's just it's so precious. Now, this store is not a new store. It's a retheme of an old store called Laughing Monkey Traders, but the whole store has been transformed into Chip and Dale heaven. And it's super cute.
Yeah, it's an adventure aisle in the park. And I've actually seen a little pushback from the Shanghai fans about this because I guess it's one of the things that makes Shanghai so unique is that they weren't really relying a lot on IPs. There was all original concepts and things like that with the exception of a few things. So I've seen a lot of people kind of pushing back on, oh, why do you need to bring an IP into a shop? Well, it was fine how it is. So it is, I think it is what it is, but Chip and Dale is very popular, especially in that culture. So it makes sense that they would want to give Chip and Dale their own store.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. People like those two characters in particular a lot over there. So
yes, and we need the Rescue Rangers merchandise, Brian. That is correct.
I think the U.S. parks need an overhaul of merch in general. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, in comparison to the Asia parks, our merch is doo-doo. So.
It honestly really is, and yep. If you can even get it, because it's bought up by the scalpers.
Yeah, let's not even get into how Shop Disney has been lately. next up, Banks was super hyped about this. A Percy Jackson TV series is now in development for Disney+.
Yeah, it is.
People are super hyped about it. This was announced by the author of the book series, and I'm really scared I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, so I'm going to let you say it.
Rick Riordan.
Yeah, there we go. I definitely wouldn't have said it like that. He announced that they would follow the storyline of the original 5-book series, starting with The Lightning Thief in season 1. So they will be approaching each book in the series per season, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed that they're putting The Lightning Thief on Disney Plus in June. So the movie version.
Yeah, the trailer right now in the YouTube version of Sea of Monsters is playing. That's the second in the series. But yeah, it's the movie. I am not a reader. I don't read books. Sydney, though, is a huge fan of the Riordan novels, especially the Percy novels and any other novel series that he's done since. So she's definitely said how much she hates the 2 films because they don't follow the storyline very well, if at all. So it's nice to see that Rick Riordan is actually going to have a frontline control over how this adaptation is done. In fact, he posted on his Twitter account the other day the cover page for his story outline that he's writing. So he is writing the story outline for the Disney Plus series. So you know it's going to be a lot more faithful. And any changes, it's with his blessing because he's writing it. So that makes me very, very, very excited.
I mean, the last time we had something similar happen with Series of Unfortunate Events, I know that's Netflix, but Daniel Handler, Lemony Snicket, if I'm not mistaken, wrote the treatment for that as well.
Yeah.
So we're in good hands, I think. Anytime that they let the author be involved, it's always, you know, positive.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, there's going to be changes when, you know, translating from a book to a visual medium. Luckily, they're treating this the way it should be done in making each book its own full season so they can try and get as much from the novels as humanly possible with, of course, changes that will be written probably by Rick himself. So that's great. So if they continue with this model, then we know there's going to be at least 5 seasons of the show, one for each book. So that's very, very, very exciting.
John Self has a comment that I would like to address, and then we have another one after that.
Yes.
There is no expected release date for this show. It is in early development. So I would expect they would work on it for a year, and then maybe sometime in 2021 we'll get a casting result.
Yeah.
And they will shoot that year, and we'll probably see it late 2021 or early 2022, like the first half of 2022, probably. Yeah. Don't expect to hear about it coming out anytime soon.
Rick is just now starting the story treatment, so it's going to be a while because that's all we can do is write right now. They can't go out and shoot anything.
Yeah.
So we probably won't see them, even like Brittany said, start casting until early next year. So it's just exciting that we know it's coming. We're going to be waiting a little bit, that's for sure. And yes, DJ JS in the chat says, now we need more Tron and National Treasure content. Speaking of National Treasure,
they are not only making a third National Treasure movie,
uh-huh,
but they are also making a TV show for Disney Plus. If I'm not mistaken, it will be a similar plot with younger characters.
Yes. Well, here's my assumption. So you're still going to have the third movie with Nick Cage, and maybe either in that movie or in the first episode of the series, Nick Cage will quote unquote pass the baton to this younger cast. So he could show up in the first episode of the series as the mentor that's kind of like sets them in motion. And then maybe once or twice through the whole series, he pops back in to help out. And then at the end, they all celebrate or something like that.
Yeah. But it's happening. Jerry Bruckheimer said it's happening. So stay tuned for that. That one's probably also in extremely early development. So don't expect to see it for a while.
Well, they've been wanting to do a third movie for quite some time, but finally getting some traction.
So hang on. We will update you when we get updates.
Exactly. And that's going to be it for the news in the queue, isn't it?
Yep, that's it. That's everything.
I thought I saw a con. Peter wanted to know, like, SpongeBob musicals coming to Australia. I'm not sure. I don't know the touring dates for the SpongeBob musical, but that is a musical that I love so much, and it's a musical they released streaming the full show they shot and released it out there. So it's another example of shows that have been released to the public that needs to happen more often.
I think it's on Nick's streaming app if you want to watch it.
It's there. I know it's available to buy on Amazon Prime because that's where we bought it. There's ways to find the SpongeBob musical, which if we're talking SpongeBob musical, Patrick and Mr. Krabs are two of my new dream roles. I would love to play those two roles.
I wonder if they have like set out the licensing and stuff for it so local productions can do it or not. Because
let me tell you that. Because the community theater back home in my hometown is still going strong. My mom helped found it 30 years ago. So if I ever see them announce they are going to do auditions for SpongeBob, you best be knowing I'm moving back to Texas for like 4 months because I'm going to go on audition.
I will drive up to go see it if you
please,
do that.
Please. I will. All right, so time to move on to our main attraction this week. And this week is going to probably have some heated discussion, especially for people who listen to the podcast, because there's been a lot of heated discussion over some of these rules the past week in terms of visiting City Walk and visiting the parks and what you can and can't do. So, Brittany, if you want to get things started, are we going to talk City Walk first?
Since that's open, let's start with that. City Walk is now open at Universal Orlando. Mm-hmm. Not the whole thing, just select restaurants and the Universal Studios store. They have, however, implemented various things that you have to do and to comply with in order to visit. And our friend Theron went and checked it out for us. He was our guy on the scene. So one of the first things that he noticed was that they had vinyl stickers on the ground that notated 6 feet between each sticker to keep people social distanced, which was nice. And I also noticed that they included both feet and meters, which was nice for international visitors because we don't follow the metric system for some reason.
I don't want to relearn things.
It's just easier. Universal has decided that City Walk will operate from 4 to 10 p.m. daily, so don't try to get there any earlier, and parking is free. So that's nice.
Yes.
However, you have to wear a mask to visit. Have to.
Not a suggestion, a requirement.
You have to wear it unless you are eating, like you are dining. I saw someone on Twitter get kicked out of City Walk today because they refused to wear the mask.
I didn't see that.
Josh showed it to me, and I was like, oh, I'm not surprised. Once you park, you are directed to a checkpoint where you get your temperature screened through a touchless thermometer. And if your temperature falls below 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, you are allowed to enter. But if you don't pass, you are not allowed in. So kind of be hyper aware, you know, do like a self check of your symptoms if you have any before you leave the house, because it is unfortunate if you get there and they're like, sorry, you can't come in. Let's see. Universal had performers wearing masks while playing for guests once they arrived. Mm-hmm. There were also team members stationed around to help direct them to what was open and what wasn't open. I believe they had signs. I watched a live stream of someone who went when it first opened, and there were signs on doors that were closed. Mm-hmm. And they had the Putt-Putt Golf, the Hollywood Drive-In, I think it's called golf.
Yeah.
That was open. The Margaritaville Lone Palm area was open. The Studios store was open. What else was open?
Voodoo.
Yes, Voodoo, but for carryout only. And you could mobile order, which was nice. So that's basically it. You have to wear your mask. You have to get your temperature screened. And keep away from other people, which isn't a lot to ask, in my opinion.
And it doesn't seem, at least the past few days that City Walk has been reopened, it doesn't seem that hard to keep away from people. It's not crowded, thankfully.
Yeah.
And the lines that have been set up, people are staying spaced apart and respecting the 6 feet rule. So it's nice to see. Obviously, there are going to be people that are very much anti-mask. Like you said, someone got kicked out today. That's going to happen. And that's been a very big point of contention online over the past day is like, is you can't require make me wear a mask. If I want to go without a mask, I'm going to go without a mask. You're not.
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, Universal, Disney, they are private properties. That's their property. They have the right to say you cannot come in without a mask. So you can be all, you know, freedom of speech, First Amendment, all you want. That's fine. You have the right to not wear a mask outside of Universal and Disney. That's your thing. Go for it. But if you want to go to Disney Universal, you got to wear the mask, period, end of discussion.
Yep. And it is their prerogative to kick you out if you do not do that.
Exactly.
And I, on the live stream that I watched, it was very spread out. Everyone was keeping their distance for the most part. People wore their masks. One person that I watched, they went and sat at Lone Palm to eat, and a team member brought them a merchandise bag where they could take their mask off, put it in the bag, and then clip it to their backpack so they don't have to touch the mask to it, the table
nice.
Or anything like that. So that was nice. The wait person brought the bag over and then left and then came back much later. They had single-use menus, which was nice. The only thing was that they weren't enforcing social distancing, at least in the stream that I watched, because I saw the person streaming and then another group that wasn't with them initially come and sit at their same table. And it was like three people with the two people who were streaming. And I was like, that's kind of weird. They weren't in the same party, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It is. What I, it is. Just be careful. Just be mindful of those around you. I saw some photos, and I don't think they were not out the first day City Walk opened, but I did see some photos a day or two ago of Penelope and her robot butler from Toothsome's were outside doing meet and greets, and it was kind of like a distant meet and greet, so people could walk up to the rope and they would be up on the stairs and you can chit chat that way, but you couldn't get up close to get a photo with them. You just do like a far away selfie. So it's nice to see that they are doing some entertainment, and Penelope was wearing a mask, so it was themed, so it's nice to see that.
I think at this point the Toothsome, the milkshake walk-up thing is open, but not the actual restaurant itself,
right?
But it seems like Universal is keeping it going, doing it how it should be done, and it's just a matter of us taking on the responsibility to wear a mask and to stay away from others and wash our hands and all that stuff, because these parks eventually are going to open to the masses, and exactly. It will be on us to make sure that we keep ourselves safe, because they can only do so much, you know,
right.
And we are taking on the risk by going to visit. So,
right. A couple of comments I wanted to touch upon in here in our chats. Where'd it go? Peter wanted to know when we don't know when the Disneyland's going to open. We don't really know when any of the parks are going to open. We're just talking about City Walk, Disney Springs, the shopping areas. In terms of the parks, at this point, it's anyone's guess when they're going to reopen.
Yes, but before you change that, there were pictures of the stickers that I mentioned earlier being placed outside of IOA. As of yesterday, I think, they were at the gates to IOA.
I know that Florida Governor DeSantis was stating that Florida is now in a full phase one reopening, which means the theme parks can now submit their plans on how they're going to reopen with guidelines. So this could be something we start seeing very soon in terms of announcements of when Disney or Universal could potentially reopen.
And Universal's closure is through at least May 31st. So
yeah.
Things continue the way that they're going. I saw that Florida's numbers were pretty low, like staying consistently low.
I think we've had a bit of an increase. I know you guys in Texas
have had a massive increase. Yeah, we did.
it's just something you have to watch day by day. And you know that Disney is paying close attention on how Shanghai does. And like I said earlier, all intents and purposes, Shanghai's reopening has been very successful. But at the same time, they've been closed longer.
Yep.
And Shanghai, I was actually looking at the numbers. Shanghai's numbers are almost relatively zero now. So Disney didn't even reopen until they were practically back to normal levels.
Yep.
We're nowhere near that here. So at this point, it's just who knows what's going to happen and when things are going to reopen. Piano Man 20 has a comment. It's a valid comment. I just don't know how it's going to work out. He wants to wonder if the parks will allow people in without masks that have breathing medical conditions such as asthma. I don't know.
I would say that they would advise those who have high-risk health conditions or those of older age, like Universal did, to not come.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to approach that because they are not playing around with this mask thing. If you don't have it on, they will ask you if you have one probably. And if you say no, they'll be like, go back to your car. You can't come in.
Yeah.
And that's going to be that.
Yeah, it's going to be a big point of contention and issue, especially for people who have asthma who physically can't wear a mask.
Yep.
They may be, you know, fit as a fiddle and perfectly healthy and they want to go back to Disney, but they just can't wear the mask and they're going to be told, sorry, you can't come in. So it's going to be, we're going to see a lot of discussion about this. And obviously this is hearsay. We don't know how it's going to work out for people with asthma. I haven't heard of any instances of people with asthma trying to go to CityWalk and what's going on there. Who knows with Disney Springs next week. So just stay safe. That's all you can do. And I want to mention that if you are going out to CityWalk or going to Disney Springs, stay safe. Follow all the guidelines and keep yourself calm and just well-mannered because all these customers are there with their masks on and they're trying to give you the best possible experience. And if you get frustrated, please don't take it out on them. They're just trying to do the job and keep everyone safe so that we don't see an uptick in these cases again.
And ultimately, these rules are not to infringe on your experience. They're to keep you safe.
Exactly.
So exactly. Just try to deal with it. I know that's not the best advice, but these things are in place to keep us safe as these parks reopen because they're businesses. They have to make money. They are going to have to reopen eventually. So we just got to deal for a little bit until things are back to normal.
Let's go ahead and talk about Disney Springs because, CityWalk's already open, but Disney Springs opens this upcoming tomorrow, actually. This Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
This is the 17th when we're
yes. Okay, I don't know what day it is anymore.
Does time even matter anymore? So Disney Springs is opening on May 20th. And they announced recently that some more Disney-owned shops will be opening on May 27th, a week later. Those are World of Disney, the Marketplace Co-op. They're two merchandise, big Disney merchandise places. And Deluxe Burger with mobile order only. So those will be open a week from next Wednesday or this coming Wednesday, I guess. And they have quite a few rules in place, quite a few. So to start, guests will have to park in either orange or lime. Pick your side there. I'm a lime garage person.
You what?
Lime garage.
Listen, I like both. I have my reasons to park in both. More often than not, I actually do park in line because usually when I go to Disney Springs, I'm going to go to World of Disney or to Marketplace Co-op or the toy store, and Lime is closer. So I will park there. Orange Garage has more room and is easier to get in and out of, but Lime is better for position.
Yeah, I prefer Lime. Normally when I would go to Disney Springs, it would be to go to World of Disney, which is this way. I'm pointing to my right here, or to Uniqlo, which is literally straight out of that escalator from Lime Garage next to Play Pig. So that's like my favorite, but otherwise I go to Orange if I'm trying to go to the movies, or Coke or Sephora, because that's kind of closer than Lime by a hair. But yes, so you'll have to park in either of those garages. There will be no surface parking, so don't even try. Strawberry and grapefruit will not be.
I think grapefruit is going to be for the cast members only.
And then once you get there, they will be doing temperature screenings with the same 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit threshold there. There will not be a bag check. So, like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. They didn't have a bag check before at Springs.
No, this is true. This is very true. I guess I'm so used to like going to City Walk and having to go through security anyway. I always forget that, oh yeah, Disney Springs doesn't even do bag checks.
Yeah, so that's not a thing, but they will be screening your temperature and you will have to have a mask. All guests ages 3 and older, so if you are old enough to have an annual pass, you are old enough to wear a mask.
Yep. It'll be interesting because as someone with two kids, I know how hard it is to keep things on them sometimes. Spencer's old enough now where, you know, if I tell her to, it's important, she'll keep a mask on. Oliver, luckily, is only 2, so he's not required. But at the same time, I have no plans to bring Oliver to the Springs or City Walk anytime soon.
Yeah.
He's staying home for a little bit.
Well, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Employees will be temperature screened as well, so you don't have to worry about that. They will also be wearing masks. So we're all in this together.
Yes.
You can bring your own face mask, and you will have to wear it at all times, except for when you're dining. Disposable masks may be available, but don't count on that. Bring your own mask from home. If you don't have a mask, you will not be allowed to enter, so keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Physical barriers. This is something that I thought was super interesting. Physical barriers, so plastic clear walls, have been added in select places where it is difficult to maintain social distancing. So cash registers, bagging things, counters, stuff like that, now have plastic barriers on them. We have them at my grocery store.
Yeah, we have them at Target now, too.
So that is going to be a thing that you will have to encounter. It's also going to be a guest relations, so keeping people safe. And you will also be encouraged to use cashless transactions, so cards, mobile wallets, Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, that kind of thing. You will be encouraged to use those instead of cash, because cash can carry the virus, I think.
Yeah, I think it could.
Yeah, it can live on surfaces for 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
And there will be, for physical distancing purposes, there will be signage throughout Disney Springs, as well as cast members stationed in various areas to encourage and promote social distancing. So if you're standing too close, they'll be like, hey, 6 feet.
Back it up. Of course, I think if you're there with a group, like y'all, if you're there with your, you know, one or two other people, you're allowed to be close because you're together, like especially families. It's just with the other friends or the strangers, then you gotta back it up.
Yeah, or I mean, I know that this probably wouldn't happen, but in the past I've known Sephora to do events at Disney Springs, mm-hmm. and the line would be so long.
Imagine now with 6 feet between each person.
Yeah, so that's going to be the kind of situation, like if they limit how many people can be in each store at a certain time, mm-hmm. and there happens to be a queue to get into the shop, that's when they will implement that kind of social distancing thing.
Listen, I just hope that this is... Did you ever watch Arrested Development?
No.
Oh.
I tried, and I just couldn't do it.
Oh, it's a good series. It takes... I understand. But I for those who have watched it, this reference hopefully will make you laugh, because I really hope at some point I hear someone yelling, "No touching."
I
get that if you've seen the show.
The only thing I know is the banana stand thing.
There's always money in the banana stand.
Not in the Disney Springs. There's not. And there, another thing that they will be doing besides your expected sanitation increases, high traffic areas, high touch surfaces, things like that. Cast members will be receiving training to kind of help them help you, basically.
Yeah.
Help with cleaning and disinfecting surfaces, teaching them how to appropriately distance people and how to judge 6 feet without having, you know, the measurement out in front of them. And they will be receiving new training throughout this period as rules kind of change and mold depending on the seriousness of the virus situation, things like
that. I meant to mention this with City Walk. If you are going out to City Walk or you're going to be going to Disney Springs, go if you have a purpose. If you're going to go buy something to eat, if you're going to, if you, there's something you have to buy at the merchandise shop, go. Don't just go to hang out and walk around and see what it's like. I don't want that to happen because then that brings more and more people in. Only go if you know you're going to be buying something. That's it.
Yep. There's no reason for anybody to go unless you like want to really eat dinner in Lone Palm, or you really want to get a dozen from Voodoo Donut. Don't go just to be there and like post on social media like, oh, I'm here.
I've already talked to Sydney. When Marketplace Co-op opens on the 27th, I may actually be going out there, or she will go out there. One or the other. We're not going to all go together. Because she has her Disney phone case and the plate is starting to crack, so she needs to go to the co-op and get a new one. So that's a requirement.
Yeah. So that kind of thing. You can do what you want, but we encourage you to be thoughtful and mindful in these times, and
please.
Only go if you have to, and don't go for the clout.
Yeah. Please don't
do it.
I mean, we're not. There's going to be vloggers out there. There were vloggers at City Walk. Yeah, as long as you're there and you contribute to the business by buying something, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because it's only when you're there just to get the views and not buy anything, that's when I'm like, really? Like, did you have to do that?
And we have people going out there too. I mean, we are a news outlet. Theron, I think, is also going to Disney Springs.
Yeah. Theron will go on the 20th. And when he went to Universal, he bought some things. I think he bought a mask and some hand sanitizer because they were selling them at the Universal Studio store. We don't know if Disney's going to be selling masks as of yet. They're selling them on Shop Disney, but we're not sure if they're going to sell them in person yet. We'll find that out as time goes on.
I think the Shop Disney ones aren't even going to be in hand until June or July.
Yeah, like they're just getting like pre-orders right now.
Yeah. So I would say if you don't have a mask, find a local maker, like a local craftsperson or a small business, and purchase a few.
Yeah.
And so that way you can like wear one, wash it. Mm-hmm. And get prepared. Carry some hand sanitizer. Bring like some wipes or something, and if you have to go, and if you don't, stay home.
Yeah, there's really not. We all miss Disney, but there's no reason to go unless there's an absolute reason that makes no sense whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't if you don't have a purpose of being there, there's no real reason for you to go. You're not missing anything. It hasn't changed since it closed. It's just the novelty of the thing is so enticing, and I get it. But there are other people that we have to think about now, because you could be carrying the virus and not know it. And
exactly.
Or a quickie trip to Disney Springs or to City Walk could, you know, harm someone else if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's all very uncertain right now. Yes. I know we talk about this every week, but always something to talk about every week.
We're the Animal Crossing podcast with a side of coronavirus.
Which we got to get to the Animal Crossing corner here in a second. I do want to mention real quick, though, I'm crossing my fingers because I know when Disney announced their opening, I heard reports that, you know, they had some of their custodial cast members that are coming in like 3 or 4 days ahead of time to clean and get things ready. My wife, of course, is a custodial cast member at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So I'm hoping that soon, if Disney decides to start opening hotels with limited capacity, that she gets to be able to be called in ahead of time to help clean and prepare the hotel. So we're hoping that we're just crossing our fingers, hoping for no more furlough.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that she loved working over at DAC Lodge too. So anything to give you that like sense of purpose.
Yes.
You know? Like I'm doing something. I'm contributing to the universe.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Well, enough of that. Enough of all that.
Yeah. Talk. Let's talk about happy things.
Let's talk about our islands, because we skipped over Animal Crossing Corner before main attraction.
Oops.
Not much going on my island of Golden Oak. What did I do? I've just been kind of, you know, adding some things. I moved my little makeshift campsite to the top, the highest mountain, so it gets a nice overview of the whole mountain, and you look down and judge the other residents. I'm just getting way too into this game.
I love it. It makes me happy because I talked your ear off about it for so long, and now you get it.
I get it.
You're
so
in
much.
It.
and Sydney gets it so much too. Like she's Sydney has created, I think, 8 different accounts.
I currently have 7. I will be making 8.
She's about to make her 8th account on her Switch because she has made the houses of all these different accounts be different things, like a schoolhouse, a gym, a cafe.
I have a cat cafe. I have a retro diner. I have a library. I have a gym. I have a music store. I have a school/daycare. There's something else that I have.
It's so cool, like, to see how like detail she's getting with all these different houses. You love to see it. You really do. It doesn't really work on a podcast. Maybe on E&L.
Okay.
You'll have to, because there is a cafe in Animal Crossing in the universe. It's Brewster's Cafe, the Roost. There is code for it in the game. It's just not in the game yet.
Ooh, so it could be in the future.
Yeah, I would expect to see that in a future update. So you might have to do some rearranging. Is
going to be over in the museum?
It's either going to be, because in Wild World, the Roost was in the basement of the museum. But in New Leaf, it was a separate building. So I don't know what they're going to do. The data in the game makes it appear as though it's a part of the museum again. So we'll have to wait till that update.
How's Hylia, I believe?
Hylia Isle.
Zelda-themed island?
Yes. my island is doing okay. The main thing that I did this weekend was I started selling on Nookazon. And that was an adventure. if you don't know what Nookazon is, it's a fan-run online marketplace where you can buy and sell items in Animal Crossing for bells, other items, Nook Miles tickets, star fragments. Basically, you can sell anything or buy anything with anything in the game. No real money involved. But I have been collecting a bunch of spare DIYs so you can get one on your beach every day. You sometimes get them from balloons, and you can get up to 3 a day from your villagers, depending on if you play at the main points of the day, morning, noon, and night.
Sorry to interrupt, but you can actually get 2 on the beach a day, one in the morning and then 12 hours later at night. I've never
seen a second bottle on my island. I'm going to have to look. But so I listed all of my spare DIYs just for like make me an offer, like Nook Miles tickets or wish list items. And you can make a wish list of stuff that you want. Literally go through the whole game's catalog and mark stuff. Because one of my villagers is moving out. So I wanted to get a ton of Nook Miles tickets to try to find someone new. And immediately I got offers from people for all sorts of stuff. And sometimes it works out great. I sold one DIY for 25 Nook Miles tickets.
Nice.
And then there are some things that don't necessarily work out. I was going through my wish list, as you do, and I was looking at listings for various items, and there was one person who was selling one of the items on my list for free. They were just giving it away. So I put it in my cart, and I made an offer as listed, and I waited for it to be accepted, and it was. And I sent the person a dodo code to come to my island, and they came, dropped the item off, and I thought they were going to leave. They didn't leave. They ran through all my hybrid flowers, went to go see KK Slider because it was Saturday, stayed for 2 or 3 songs. I lost count. And then left.
Wow.
Did not answer my messages in the game. The website's also linked through Discord, if you know what that is. Yep. Messaged her on Discord. Wouldn't respond. And it held me up on another trade for something that I was selling to someone else because she wouldn't leave. So that was bad.
You know you can kick them off, right?
I did, but she had another item that I was waiting for her to drop that I had paid for.
Hey.
Yeah.
Ew. Yuck.
Yeah.
I have on my island, I've got the entryway and everything. I have it blocked off. That way when I start my trades, I just put a little fence up that people can only stay in that area. They can't leave.
I'm definitely going to have to do that now.
Yeah.
But other, Otherwise, it worked out really good. I got like 50 Nook Miles tickets out of selling what I did and some wishlist items, which was nice. I haven't sold anything today just because we were out driving around all day. But I would recommend being careful. But the website is nice and the interface is really cool. It sends you notifications when things are like your offers are accepted or denied, or when people make offers on your stuff. It's really great.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I know you tweeted about it, and I immediately like, do you have a lock chair DIY? You tweeted back like, I got one. What you gonna offer?
I was kidding. I was totally kidding. And then you're like, 10-star fragments.
Yeah, I was like, I got lots of star fragments here. Have some.
Yeah, that helped me. I got the DIY for the star purse from Celeste the day before. Nice. So that let me make it. But I don't know. Some people ask for crazy stuff on there. If you've never gone on, obviously we know that Raymond is super popular, and people sell him for real money. But I've seen like certain villagers go for 1 million bells or 500 Dunk Miles tickets. Crazy stuff. I like to do make me an offer, because most of the time, if you don't lowball me, I'll be like, yeah, you can have it. But it's really interesting to see like how quickly, because you can set your status to online, busy, or offline. And if you're online or busy, your listings show up in the search. So that way people can message you only if you're online to buy your stuff.
Nice. I'll have to look into it this week and see how it looks.
There are a ton of – they've started popping up now, Animal Crossing websites. There's like Villager DB. I don't know if you can actually buy and sell things. There's Turnip Exchange. There's ACNH Exchange, which is app-based. It's the one that I told you about.
Yeah, that's the one I have right now.
I love that app, but it was very broken this past week.
I noticed that. I was trying to like get to some turnips, and I'm like –
nope.
Yeah.
But I think Nookazon is probably the best out of all of them. They update it constantly. If you have it linked to your Discord, you get notifications on what they update because they post in the Discord like bulletin board thing. It's really great. And I think it's changed how I approach Animal Crossing now, because all these extra items that I have, instead of just selling them to Timmy and Tommy for a low ball bell amount, I can sell them to people who want them and get stuff that I want in return.
Boom. I think next I'm going to try and create a TV studio, because I've got two TV cameras and two studio lights now. So I need to get a TV studio going.
You're
here.
Welcome.
Thank you for the camera. I appreciate it. All right. So real quick, we're going to do some shout outs before we have to sign off.
Let's do it.
Piano Man, great seeing you too. Yes, we do the live stream of us recording the podcast every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. So if you're listening to the audio version, join us, shall you? Sorry, apologies to Adam the Woo for stealing that. My gosh, my apologies to Adam the Woo. That is his.
He would be a fun one to have on here if we could get that worked out.
That would be awesome. I've been watching a lot of his videos lately.
Same. Every day.
Let's see. Peter, five TV shows you grew up with.
Oh, man. Josh and I were just talking about this because we were discussing your Mickey Mouse Club thing.
Yeah.
Bear in the Big Blue House.
So many.
Yeah, so many. But Bear in the Big Blue House, the Aladdin and Little Mermaid animated series.
Yeah.
Pokemon Indigo League. And Rugrats, I guess, would be another one. I'm trying to pick like the ones that I watched the most as a kid. Right. I literally watched Pokemon every day before kindergarten. That was how my mom woke me up in the morning, turned on the TV, and then the Pokemon theme song would rouse me from my sleep.
I gotta be the very best. No one ever was.
One of my favorite musicians did a cover of the Pokemon theme song.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. I'll have to send it to you.
Okay, Pokemon is definitely at the top of mine. Got all the Nicktoons, like Rugrats, Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life. The game shows. I am a huge game show fanatic, so, you know.
Finders Keepers was my favorite.
Do what?
Finders Keepers.
Oh, my God, Finders Keepers.
That was good.
Mike O'Malley before he did Guts.
I love that one.
So yeah, like there's so many I could name that I grew up with. So let's see. Do you think photographers are going to be back in the parks?
That's a great question. I would hope so, because they are people who have jobs that need their jobs. I'm sure that they will probably do some very socially distanced photo ops. I would imagine character meet and greets are not going to be a thing when the parks first open, or they'll do kind of a modified meet and greet like Shanghai, where they're far away and you can take your own pictures or take selfies. But I would hope so. You know, that's probably what they're working on right now, is trying to figure out how to bring all these cast members back and keep them safely distanced and stuff. Yes.
Hopefully. Well, I think with that, we're going to call it a night here. So, Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And occasionally at twitch.tv/BrittPlays with 3 T's. I haven't streamed in a while. Don't know when I'm going to stream again, because honestly, it's kind of draining when it doesn't work. But I will get there. When I can have someone come over and look at my stuff. So
you can find me on Instagram at Disney Goofball, on Twitter at Banksley, and of course all the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and of course attractionsmagazine.com, as I stutter there as well. Once again, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can join us every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine as we live stream the recording of this with some fun visuals and things like that, and you can watch us stutter in video.
Yeah.
Until next week, everyone, stay safe, and if you get out there, have fun as well. We'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.